my recommendation is to pick a topic, a niche topic that you love, that you're passionate about, that you want to just devote yourself to. Because, you know, making a successful blog, if you're not passionate about that subject matter, if it's not something that you live and breathe, then one, doing all the work that is necessary to make your blog successful is going to be a real drag.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, this is Jennifer Jones, and today on Marketing Voices, I have Peter Rojas, who's co-founder and editor-in-chief of a publication on the web called Engadget. Now, Engadget is, to me and to everybody here at PodTech, a phenomenal publication that really is something that if you haven't seen it yet, you've really got to look at it, and Peter will talk to us about it. But it's a web magazine that's really got obsessive daily coverage of everything new in gadgets and consumer electronics. So with that introduction, Peter, welcome to Marketing Voices.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Well, thank you again for taking the time. So let's just start out with the basics. So can you give the listeners an idea of what Engadget is and where they can find it?
Yeah, well, Engadget, at its heart, is basically a blog about gadgets and consumer technology and electronics and basically anything that is sort of interesting and cool in technology, but that is in some way hardware or relates specifically to hardware. And we've been really careful to sort of draw the line in the sand and say, you know, it's not really about, you know, Google introduces Gmail. It's really about, you know, Microsoft comes out with a competitor, the iPod. It's really more focused on the hardware side of things. And it's basically been around for about 2.5 years, has about 5 million unique visitors per month. And we usually do between 30 and 40 posts per day. It's in a blog format. It's a blog. But we have a team of contributors all over the world who help put together the site every day.
Very cool. So how many, when you say a team of contributors, so how do you decide sort of who the team is and how they contribute and, you know, to get into a little bit of specifics here?
Yeah, so we have a team. Besides myself, we actually have three other full-time employees at the site. Ryan Block is our managing editor, and he handles a lot of the day-to-day stuff for the site. And then Evan Blass and Cyrus Farivar are sort of our senior contributing editors who manage a lot of help us sort of keep on top of the massive amount of news that's coming at us every day. And then we actually have basically freelance contributors based in Europe. We have two guys in Europe, and we have other people here in the States. And then on top of that, we actually have several sort of sibling sites. We have Engadget Mobile, which covers specifically just handheld cell phones and wireless stuff. Engadget HD, which covers high definition, home theater, the high-end home audio stuff. And then we have actually several foreign language editions of the site. Engadget Japanese, Engadget Spanish, and then Engadget in both traditional and simplified Chinese. And those each have their own editorial teams. I mean, you know, they all sort of, you know, report up to me at some point, but they're very independent, very decentralized. And what they're doing is the foreign language sites do a mix of translation of stuff on the sort of Engadget Classic, so to speak, and original content targeted specifically for their markets.
Very cool. So how did you and why did you start Engadget?
Well, I got involved with blogging about 5.5 years ago, and I started blogging just for fun and just to sort of try it out. And the idea that blogging could be a business or anything like that was really alien to the whole thing, and especially considering that the bubble had burst and that the whole dot-com economy seemed to be collapsing around me. And I was a technology journalist. I worked for a magazine called Red Herring, worked at the original Red Herring, and was laid off in 2001, moved to New York a few months later, and ended up starting a site called Gizmodo with Nick Denton. And this is before Gawker Media. There's no Gawker Media. There wasn't even Gawker at that point. It was just an idea that we came up with while we were sitting in a bar here in the Lower East Side in New York. And it's something that kind of took off, and I had a lot of fun doing it. But Gizmodo at the time was never intended to be more than sort of a part-time freelance gig. And I realized that I've liked the blogging more than I like. The blogging was supposed to be sort of a tool to get me work as a journalist, and I realized that I liked the blogging more than I liked the journalism. And when Jason Calacanis was launching Weblogs Inc., he approached me and said, "Hey, we're looking for someone to, you know, do a kind of a flagship gadget blog with us, and we think, you know, what you're doing at Gizmodo is great, but we wanted to give you the right incentives to do something, and we'll give you the tools and the resources to do it at the level that you want to do it at." And for me, it made a lot of sense, because I wanted blogging to be something that I did all the time, full time. I didn't want to have to be, you know, doing freelance tech journalism for the New York Times, which is what I was doing at the time, and a few other and other places to sort of subsidize my life as a blogger. I wanted to really just focus on blogging full time, and so Engadget was born, and we launched in March of 2004.
Well, it is. It's just awesome. So, sort of, where does it go from here, and what are sort of next steps with it?
Well, I mean, it's funny. I mean, it started off as basically a one-person blog, you know, and it's really grown a lot. And I think I'm not, you know, 2.5 years ago, I would never have thought that we'd be at the point where we're at right now. That's for sure. That we'd have this, you know, amazing team of people all working really, really hard to basically kind of cover the world of gadgets in real time. So it's really hard for me to sort of say, you know, where do we go from here? But I think, you know, the things we're going to be focusing on is, you know, do we do additional spin-offs from the main site? You know, obviously cell phones has been the Engadget Mobile has been a huge success for us. It's, one of the biggest, it's already, you know, in its own right, a very, very successful blog. But, you know, we don't know, we're not sure how much we want to sort of peel off from the main site. And force people to have to read, you know, that many more blogs to get their gadget news. So I don't know. I it's, you know, we have some stuff in the works that I can't really talk about yet. But I think, you know, for right now, the goal is just to keep excelling at what we're doing, which is just to keep, you know, I mean, every day we have to get up and recreate the site anew, right? And we have to keep recreating it over and over and over and over again. And every, you know, 20 minutes, you know, people expect new content. And so, you know, when I wake up in the morning, you know, and when Ryan wakes up in the morning, like, our goal is to just continually produce the best site possible.
So how do you do that? I mean, do you literally just, I can't imagine where you're not working 24/7. I mean, how do you sort of turn off and then do it? Or, you know, how do you structure your day?
Well, you have to just completely give over your entire life to it. There's really no middle ground here. I think if you want to be a successful blog in the top 100 on Technorati, you have to just concede that you're going to have to work pretty much all the time on it. And I think you know, that shouldn't be the only goal though for blogging. You know, I mean, there are lots of reasons to blog, and they're not. It's not just about trying to make money or trying to have, you know, the biggest blog in your category. So I think that there are plenty of reasons to blog, and that a lot of people. It's very easy for a lot of people to fit, you know, make blogging something they just do on a casual basis. So it's not like you have to only do blogging in one way. But I think for what, you know, what we're doing is, and it's funny how gadgets seemed like such a niche topic at the time.
Yeah.
And now it's obviously, you know, a broad, it seems like a very, very broad category. And, you know, my recommendation is to pick a topic, a niche topic that you love, that you're passionate about, that you want to just devote yourself to. Because, you know, making a successful blog, if you're not passionate about that subject matter, if it's not something that you live and breathe, then, one, doing all the work that is necessary to make your blog successful is going to be a real drag.
Yeah.
But two, your audience is going to pick up on that. And they're going to be able to, you know, they're going to be able, it's not going to pass the smell test, right? They're going to be able to tell that you're not into it. And that's pretty obvious. And so, you know, the key is really pick something niche, pick something focused, and you just kind of flood the zone. You just, you know, you try to cover it as in-depth as you can with as much stuff. You know, frequency does equal traffic to a certain extent. And so people do, you know, when you're doing something like, you know, blogging about gadgets, people do, you know, if you can't miss a story, and you can't be late with a story. I mean, if a new product gets announced or news breaks, we have to have it up instantaneously. I mean, I get people complaining, this news is 3 hours old.
Oh my gosh.
And I mean, part of it's my fault, right? I mean, you know, with Gizmodo and then with Engadget, I sort of raised the metabolism of technology journalism. I take responsibility. It's basically, you know, I made my bed, now I have to sleep in it, right?
Yeah, really.
But this is like the reality of the world, is that people, you know, it's funny, like to me, like CNET is old media. Because, you know, the way that they used to operate with technology is like, you know, go to an event, you know, write something up, and then they publish it the next day. Whereas what we do is we blog it in real time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so does Robert. I know Robert does.
I mean,
everywhere he goes, he's always taking his computer and blogging. So, I mean, but seriously, when do you sleep? I mean, do you sleep? Do you sleep like 2 hours a night? Or, I mean, how do you live your life?
When I start for the first, 18 months, I didn't sleep very much. I got about 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night, and I worked about 80 hours a week, 80 to 100 hours a week. And it was exhausting. And if I hadn't found an amazing team to help me do this site now, it would be a disaster. And now, you know, I can say, like, I do get sleep now, and I have a great team of people, and we have the resources necessary. AOL has been really great in that regard to really do the site the way it's supposed to be done. And so the idea is that no one should be really, you know, seriously burning out. I think Ryan is probably a little exhausted because he has to handle a lot of the managerial duties.
Yeah.
It's just there's really no two ways about it. I mean, if you're going to blog about something like this, you have to be prepared to give it everything you've got.
Yeah. Well, okay. So now a couple of questions. How do people who want to contact you about a new product and all of that get to you? What's the best way to talk to you?
So actually, we get so many emails and product suggestions, and there's so much news every day that we actually have a pretty good system for keeping track of everything, because we get literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things thrown at us every day. And so we really encourage people to use our tips form, which is www.engadget.com/tips.
Okay.
And I know people don't like to use a web form, but what that does is it actually puts whatever is being suggested. If it's like, you know, you have a new product you're being announced, or you have something on your blog you want to suggest, and it goes basically into our system that we use for tracking stuff. We have this whole internal system for tracking links that come in and who's going to write about it, and, you know, how high is the priority? Does this need to be hit right now, or can it wait a couple hours, stuff like that. And so that's really the best way. The worst way is to call me, which I find doesn't really, you know, it doesn't usually help very much, in the sense that, I get like just tons and tons and tons of stuff thrown at me every day. And if you have a new product or something interesting, and you really insist that you have to email me about it, even though I would say please don't, that, you know, I just need like just a couple lines about what it is and maybe a photograph or something like that if it's interesting. But there's actually a real downside to sending me stuff directly rather than the tips form, because we have a tips form is manned by, we have someone watching that box every, like, 24 hours a day, right? Whereas if you catch me when I happen to be out or, you know, sleeping or something like that, then it might, you know, it might be a few hours until we get to it.
Right. Okay, and so don't email you, don't call you, do the tips form.
Yeah.
What about everybody else? So literally just use the tips form. That's the best way, even with all the other publications or all the other parts of the blog. Just the fact that that's the central point. To your point, don't bother you with anything else.
Let's put it this way. If you have a new product and you want to get it written about on Engadget, that's what you do. If you want to talk to me about something else, then please email me or instant message me or call me. It's just if you specifically want a product or you want us to blog about something, then use the tips form.
Okay. Now, would you be public enough with your email and your phone on this podcast to give it out or not?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My my landline or my Vonage line is 212-655-9238, and my email address is peter@engadget.com.
Okay.
engadget.com. And I'm really happy to have people contact me. But it's like I said, if it's a product announcement or something like that, it's usually just best to use the tips form. And don't follow up with a call. Because if we didn't get to something, there's a reason for it. We like I said, we have this great system for keeping track of everything that comes in.
Okay, final question is, how long in advance should people actually sort of give you a heads up on a product? I mean, what would be your preference?
Oh, so we don't sign NDAs, but we will, if it makes sense, honor an embargo. But that's not, we're not going to put anything in writing. So if people want to say something, hey, we're going to announce something in the next, you know, couple weeks or whatever, tomorrow, and send it to us ahead of time, that's fine. Generally speaking, like, we love to get exclusives. So if somebody says, hey, we're announcing a product and we want to give you guys, like, the exclusive on it, something like that, like, we love that, obviously.
Okay, very good. Well, Peter, thank you so much. I feel like I'm rushing you, but I know how busy you are, and especially if you're only sleeping 2 to 3 hours a day, I feel like I've been very privileged to get you for.
I'm getting a little more sleep now. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's good, because ultimately, I think 2 hours a night. I mean, I don't sleep much, but I'll tell you, I sleep more than 2 hours a night. Anyway, thank you very much. I've been speaking with Peter Rojas, who's co-founder and editor in chief of Engadget. And Peter, thank you for joining me in Marketing Voices.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
Great. And so to all of you, please feel free to contact him. And to all the listeners out there, until next week, may all the voices you hear be marketing voices.